Velikovsky's major ideas, of course, were pretty dramatic. And, of course, they centered around Venus and Mars.
Yes, indeed.
His theories were Venus was a captured comet. And what did he say about Mars?
Well, he said that Mars was dislodged by the erratic movements of Venus, and in its irregular motions, it nearly collided with the Earth in the 7th and 8th centuries B.C., causing devastation around the world. He identified Mars as the cosmic warrior and the god of the cosmic thunderbolt. There's a lot in this identification of Mars and of Venus that we've been able to work with systematically in our own investigation, but we find that we cannot support the chronology that Velikovsky offered, and it's for one very simple reason. He based his chronology on mythological themes, and when I went back to the Egyptian pyramid texts, really the oldest texts in the world, and I devoted years to examining the imagery in the pyramid text, I found that the themes that Velikovsky was drawing upon were in the pyramid text, 2600 B.C. This helped me to realize that, okay, there was something that was happening before the explosive rise of civilization. Something happened in the sky. And the mythological dramas that are passed down over millennia, they were already in place.
How did they know and did they record it where he was then able to tap into that? I mean, we don't even know how they made the pyramids, let alone anything else.
Well,
so how did they keep that knowledge?
Well, most cultures did not preserve the planetary identifications. Some did, and some did very well, but most didn't. And so you just have the gods and the heroes and the goddesses and the chaos monsters, serpents and dragons who are occupying this theater in this age of gods and wonders back in the mythological beginning. And there's no planetary identification at all. But the experience is very tangible, and the formations that are recorded are quite explicit. So we can identify hundreds of points of agreement between the different cultures, and they do give you a foundation for describing what was seen. But you have to rely upon the best of the ancient astronomers to establish the planetary identification. So the first astronomers, the Babylonians, were very explicit in saying the planets were the gods. They knew this, and they knew that the planet Mars was the god of the cosmic thunderbolt and was the great warrior in the sky. And they knew that Venus was a comet, quite frankly. And the images of the comet Venus just fill the ancient texts. It's only necessary to track down the particular hieroglyphs for the comet within a separate culture, and you'll see that they are always explicitly tied to the mother goddess, and that the mother goddess from one culture to another is identified as Venus. And you know, George, these issues have to be acknowledged to an extraordinary degree. Only one planet was identified as the mother goddess. Ask someone to name another planet in any culture that was identified as the mother goddess.
Yeah, that's true.
And in all of the ancient astronomical traditions, there is one planet that stands out as the cosmic warrior. Which planet is that?
That's Mars.
It's Mars. There is no question about this. Now, so we're working with traditions that are true, are common around the world to an extraordinary degree. And we exclude everything else because everything else is part of the random evolution of symbolism.
Do you think prior to this disruption of Mars that it was, had its atmosphere, had its ocean, and that was not disrupted at that point?
Well, actually, I do have a number of basic concepts with respect to atmosphere and possible water on Mars and the manner in which atmosphere might have been pulled from Mars. And water, along with a good deal of debris, pulled from Mars and into our polar regions. Now, that's something that requires a fairly diligent presentation for people to make sense of it. The one thing that I probably should emphasize that in contrast to Velikovsky's work, where he stretched these events out over a long span of time, I found evidence that I came to see as completely definitive, that there was a very close congregation of planets in ancient times, before the rise of civilization. And the configurations that were seen in the sky, and they would periodically evolve violently, metamorphose from one form into another, forms that can be very specifically identified because there was a tremendous amount of activity going on between these celestial bodies. But it was a coherent and at times extraordinarily symmetrical configuration of planets. And towering over all of this in the beginning was the planet Saturn, all in a unified configuration, stable in the sky, giving rise to the most extraordinary myths of ancient times, such as the primordial sun, the primeval sun, the central sun, the best sun, the stationary sun. Now, in all of the primary cultures, you have this echo of this tradition, very well established in ancient Egyptian and ancient Sumerian and other Mesopotamian cultures, the image of the primeval sun. Now, who was that, or what was that primeval sun figure? The general tradition identifies that figure, for reasons that could never be understood today, with the planet Saturn. The god Shamash of the Babylonians, for example, in the magical texts, those texts say very explicitly, Shamash is the planet Saturn. Even the word Helios was a name for the planet Saturn, archaically. So there is an enigma that just leaps out at us from these different traditions. The central sun is just one.
What would the significance be for us if Velikovsky's theory was correct, and if your theories are correct, what does that mean to us?
Well, it just means everything, because there is no end to the implications. Now, remember, Velikovsky knew very well that science could never accept what he was proposing until science acknowledged electromagnetic influences in space. Well, this is the whole field that opened up for Wall Thornhill, electric universe. And there is no limit, then, to the implications of this re-envisioning of human history, this re-envisioning of Earth history, and this re-envisioning of the electric universe. And we are going to be touched by this revolution in human consciousness in 100 different ways.